I had the most interesting experience last night. I was looking through the Chumash a little bit to see what the Shiur this week might be about. And, you know, Vayigash, we know the Pasha so well, and we've learned it and read it and heard it so often that you sort of despair of finding any Chidushim. And the MS is, I was totally knocked out by the experience, because just looking at the few psukim over here, I saw so many chidushim which had escaped me until now, that I learned the musa from that, that just even learning Chumash and Rashi, the Torah is chock full if you just take it seriously and learn the psukim and see what the Rabbeinu Shalom is telling us. There's unbelievable yesoidas that are available to us to learn. So I'd like to start over here. We learn a little bit posuk by posuk, just because that's definitely what I want to be my eye in over here, to see the oimek of the seemingly simple psukim. So I sort of figured we'd start at Perek Mem Hei Posuk Chof Zayin. This is when the brothers came back from Mitzrayim and they're trying to convince Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is alive. So Vayidabru Elov is called Divrei Yosef Asher Diber Alehem. They told them the things that Yosef had said to them. Vayaesu Agolos Asher Sholach Yosef, and he saw the Agolos which Yosef had sent. Loseis Asoi. So two things convinced him. They told him what Yosef had said, and he saw the Agolos. So everybody knows the Rashis, but now we can be mimic a little bit more in them. So Rashi says, as kol divrei Yosef, simon mosalohem, bameho yoyosef kishepirush mimeno, bepashas eglo arufa, and that is what he told them. Zeu shenema vayares o agolos asher sholach Yosef, v'loy omer asher sholach Paroi. So that sounds very innocuous. It's a kind of Rashi. Oh yeah, it says asher sholach Yosef, and it doesn't say asher sholach Paroi. How interesting. Let's go on. The emphasis is that there's an unbelievable oimek over here. Because, first of all, I think I misspoke myself a minute ago, because the Maharal learns pshat in Rashi that simon mosalohem bameho yoisek kishepirush mimeno bepashas eglo arufa, the Maharal learns it doesn't mean that he actually identified the eglo arufa to them. The reason is because he didn't want to embarrass them, because the eglo arufa deals with somebody who went out on a trip and got murdered, and here Yosef, this was uncomfortably close to what Yosef himself had experienced, that they wanted to kill him when he met them in Dothan. So he wanted to avoid that. He just told them, look, tell our father that these are golos amarames to something that we learned, but he didn't identify what it is that they had learned. So from hearing what the brothers told him, the kol divrei Yosef, Yaakov Avinu didn't know yet what's going on, but he was interested enough to find out. And Vayaes ha'agolos asher sholach Yosef, when he saw the agolos, he says, hey, what has all this got to do with what we learned? And that would remind him of the Pasha of Egle Arufa. In an ideal world, I would now explain to you how the agolos, the nature of these agolos, especially as we're going to explain them in a few minutes, have an impact on Egle Arufa, or Egle Arufa on them, but the simple answer why I'm not doing it is because I don't know. It's really something which one ought to be mimic in, but I haven't up to this point been. So, I do want to think a little bit about these Agolas, because they take up an inordinate sort of central role in the whole drama over here, and it's kedai to be ma'ayin in them. The first time we come across the Agolos, it seems to me, is when Yosef came to Pharaoh and told him the whole story, that his brothers had come and so on and so forth. And Pharaoh had said, look, I want you to go home and I want you to take all the good things along. I'm inviting you to come to Mitzrayim. And he sends along a whole bunch of stuff that they should take back to Yaakov Aviem, and then he says, but how are you going to carry them? And Like, why stress me'eretz Mitzrayim, agolois letapchem? I want you to take agolois me'eretz Mitzrayim. What if he would have said, zois asuk hulochem agolois, or from where? I mean, that, those are the agolois which were available to Yosef, one would suppose. Or, if you say, maybe he would have thought that he would mean to go buy agolois. So, why take were they from Eretz Mitzrayim? Why the stress that they were from Eretz Mitzrayim? It's not so pushed. That's the first time. What's the second time? So then Yosef tells the brothers, and ve'enechem al tochoyz ha'klechem, kituv kol Eretz Mitzrayim lochemu, v'yasu kein b'nei Yisrael, v'yitzen lohem Yosef agolois al pi paroi, v'yitzen lohem tzedel adorach. It says the stress over here, that it was al pi paro. I mean, everything was al pi paro. They understood that. So, why is it stressed over here by the agolos that they were al pi paro? And why did paro suggest that you should take agolos me'eretz Mitzrayim? No, that makes the Rashi, which we learned earlier, already quite significant. Vayaz agolos asher sholach Yosef. Rashi is asking a very stark question. What does it mean, Asher Sholach Yosef? It's difficult to understand. It wasn't Yosef who sent them, it was Paro who sent them. And that is stressed in the pasuk which we just saw. Vayas came b'nei Yisrael, vayitan lehem Yosef agolos al pi Paro. He stressed, it was clear that it's not he who's giving the agolos, it's he as the long hand of Paro who's giving them the agolos. So, what does it mean over here, Asher Sholach Yosef, the agolos which Yosef had sent? So, I guess what it has to mean is that the agolos to which Yosef, in sending them, attached the significance to be meramis to the parsha of Egla Arufa. But it does grate a little bit, this, the pasuk which says that they were the agolos that Yosef had sent. Like, why does it grate? Because, let's learn the next few psukim, and it's very, very interesting what's happening over here in the psukim. So, Vayom Yisroel Rav, Oid Yosef Benichai, Elcho Vereh V'Teirem Omos. Okay, I'm going to go to Mitzrayim. Vayisa Yisroel, V'chol HaShaloi, so it started traveling, Vayor Voy Be'er Oshova, Vayisbar Zvochen V'Lokei Oviv Yitzchak. They first went to Be'er. Why did they go? That's a sugya b'fnei atzma, not the one which we're dealing with at the moment. But I have a question. When Yosef V'chol HaShaloi is traveling to Be'er Sheva, where did they load this Kol HaShalo? Was he using the agolos which Paro had sent? Or not? Doesn't say. Vayisa Yisroel v'chol ha'shelo, vayovoi be'er oshova, vayizbar zevochim lelokei oviv Yitzchok. Doesn't say how he transported his stuff over there. So then, Yaakov Avinu has a mara from Rebbeinu Shem appears to him, and tells him about going down to Mitzrayim. We'll get back to that in Yetzer Hashem, still in this year. So then it goes on in Pasuk Hey, Vayokom Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayisu b'nei Yisroel es Yaakov aviyem, ves tapam ves nesheyem, bo agolois asher sholach paroi, lo seis asai. Now what's going on over here? Yeah, again, it's the stress, the agolois asher sholach paroi. It's as though the psukim are trying to draw our attention to the fact that there's some problem over here. Like, Paro appears constantly as the mechaylel of this whole idea of the agolos. He says it to Yosef, der tzivoy zois asu, take agolos me'eretz Mitzrayim. When Yosef gives the agolos to the brothers, he does so al pi Paro. Yaakov sees Egla Rufa, and he sees Asher Sholach Yosef. And then, later on, Yaakov and his children traveled to Mitzrayim in the agolos which Paro had sent, but apparently in the first stage of his trip, namely when he went from where he was down to Be'er Sheva, doesn't say that he used those agolos. He may have used them, may not have used them, may have had other agolas. But even if he used them, it certainly had no significance, but didn't mention it. Why should it mention it here and not mention it there? So what's the story of these agolas? And what's Takad Pshat that Yaakov sees the agolas asher sholach Yosef? What's going on over here? Look, so how important can the agolas be? Well, we'll see in a moment they can be unbelievably important. But the word is that all of this, I'm an old Yid, and I've heard this so many times, and it, whether it's laziness or silliness, I just don't know. I've never noticed all this. But you see, there's nothing like having to say a shir, which is a mechayev, and shakes me out of my lethargy. It's very, very necessary, an insight. So what's taka the pshat? Like, what's going on over here with these agolas? And why does Yaakov apparently have a look on the agolas differently than the reality? The reality are that there's the agolas are shesholach paro and so on. We don't have to repeat it all again. But Yaakov sees it, agolas are shesholach Yosef. It's marodik. What's going on? What's taka the pshat? What's the pshat in these agolas that Paro sent them? It seems to me that, see, we have to understand over here, and we'll be masbir from what it says over here in the psukim in a few minutes, but we have to understand that Yaakov's going down to Mitzrayim with the Shivim Nofesh, this was Klal Yisrael going into Golas. This was the beginning of Golas. This was the beginning of Golas. Klal Yisrael is going into Golas. I think that what's implied when Paro said, take a Golas me'eretz Mitzrayim, what he was saying is, you guys are going to go into Golas now. You should understand that the Golas is coming into Eretz Yisrael to schlep you out. You are mine. You belong to Mitzrayim. Don't know whether Mr. Paro, that particular king, had such profound thoughts in his mind, but that the pshat is like this, that the Yidden at that point were in a matzav that Mitzrayim could be potentially at least shoylet aleim, make them avodim, schlep them to Mitzrayim, and that encroached already into Eretz Yisrael. And I think that that is the pshat that Yaakov calls them asher sholach Yosef, because Yaakov Avinu be'atzmoy is mufka from Golos, that Mitzrayim had no shlita on him. I think the Maral talks about that a lot, that's why only after Yaakov's death the whole ideas of the Shibud v'yokom melech chodesh al Mitzrayim couldn't touch Yaakov. So the idea that these agolas agolas ve'eretz Mitzrayim, that it's the Egyptian exile which is encroaching into Eretz Yisrael. You know the Maral earlier, Kigez Yezar ve'ezra lohem v'avodim v'inu oysom abba me'ashono. So you know everybody has the problem, they're only there 210 years, what do you do with this abba me'ashono? So there's a pshat that the word is that it was taka abba me'ashono because it started already at this point when the Bris Ben Avsorim was made. The pshat is that they were Be'eretz Mitzrayim when we live in Baltimore. I live in Baltimore, right? So let's say I go to New York and somebody asks me, where do you live? So I say, I live in Baltimore. I'm in New York, but New York is not my mokum of living. With the gzeir of the Bris Ben Avsorim, Abba Me'eshonah, the word is that they belonged into Mitzrayim. So it was Taka Abba Me'eshonah from Leidus Yitzchak. They belonged into Mitzrayim for a couple of hundred years till they were in Eretz Canaan. But their mokum was in Eretz Mitzrayim. That's how I learned. So the pshat is that Mimele, when the time had come that it's time now to go back, quote, home, unquote, Chas v'Shalom, not home, but the home of your Golas lives, to go to Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim comes in to Eretz Canaan and says, we are schlepping you to Eretz Mitzrayim. I think that is very clearly what is involved over here and why the Agolas are so central to what is going on. And the beauty of it is that Yaakov doesn't see it that way. I don't mean that he doesn't see it, that he's not smart enough to see it. Yaakov, as Yaakov Avinu, is Mufka from Golos Mitzrayim. And since he's Mufka from Golos Mitzrayim, by him, it's not a Golos which Pharaoh sent. It's a Golos which Yosef sent. See, Ram is even deeper. You can go into this a tiny little bit deeper, more deeply, and say that, so the fact is that Yosef also sent them. In other words, in the moment that Yosef is sending a Golos to Yaakov, in that moment, he's also not in Golos. He's doing it al-Pi Paroi. He's doing it al-Pi Paroi. That's why he told the brothers, yeah, look, al-Pi Paroi. So the pshat is, when he's communicating with the brothers who are shy after the Golos Mitzrayim, so then it's al-Pi Paroi. When he's communicating with his father, so then it's not al-Pi Paroi. Because then Yosef is not bound by being subordinate to Paroi. There's a lot of amkas in these things. But I think that it's important, I can't tell you that I'm absolutely right in what I've been saying, but it sounds to me that that's really the pshat in what's going on over here. And that makes it so very, very interesting what's going on over here. Because let's go to the next posse. We're leaving the Agolos now. We've sort of done that sugya. And like really there's no time. There's lots of things that I had on my mind. But we'll just deal with part of them because we can't go on too long. So what happened? Vayokam Yaakov mebeeshova, vayisu b'nei Yisroel es Yaakov aviyem, vestapam vesnesheyem bo Agolos, asher sholach paro lo seisasai. Vayichru es mekneem, ves rechushom asher rochashu be'eretz Kanaan. They took the Rechushom Asher Rochashu Be'eretz Kanaan. They took the property which had become their property in Eretz Kanaan. Zogt Rashi, Asher Rochashu Be'eretz Kanaan, Aval Mashu Rochash Pepadan Aram, Nosan Hakol Le'esof, Bishvil Chelkoi B'moras HaMachpelo. Oma, Nifse Chutz La'oretz Einan Kedaili, V'zehu Asher Korisili, later on in Devorim, Ha'amed lo tziburin shel Zohar v'kesef, k'min keri, v'omaloi tulles elu. He was saying that by Esav, he said to Esav, here, Asher Korisili, I give you this pile of wealth, and with that, I'm going to get more than my Peter. I've got it all marked so I can read the psukim to you, but really just to save time a little bit, you all know the psukim anyway in Voschanan. That's what Rashi says. So, we're going to Mitzrayim. Ein nirse chutz la'oretz kedaili. That's the Rashi. Oma nirse chutz la'oretz einon kedaili. Now, anybody who's learned Parshas Vayetze and he sees the production of the sheep, 6 years, avarti daten, 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your sheep. Yeah? That sounded pretty kedai to me, to work so hard, and with the chaloim, and with the maklois. What didn't happen over there with the sheep? It's the hardest pasha in the Torah. Nachashib. You know, in the end, it says in Medrash Rabbah, in Shemois, it says that how many flocks did Yaakov Avinu get from that deal? So the day in the Medrash Rabbah, 600,000 flocks. Nish Pasha, that's a lot of sheep. Now, he left Lavan, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. No problem. Yeah, he had the sheep. Everything was great. And didn't bother him. Now he's going to Mitzrayim of all places, and suddenly the Nichse Chutzlorets are not Kedai. What's going on over here? If the Nichse Chutzlorets were very Kedai, worth working 6 years in order to get them, and having them in Eretz Yisrael, didn't get rid of a single sheep over there, I could have understood. He says, look, they're all very nice in Padan Aram, but now I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I don't want Nichse Chutzlorets. He did want Nitzel Chutz Lovat. I don't know where the Pachim Ketanim, where he bought those Pachim Ketanim, whether he had taken them along 20 years earlier when he left Eretz Yisrael, but I think it's quite mistaken that those Pachim Ketanim that he went back for, he bought in Padan Aram. He needed some Pachim Ketanim, so he bought them. So he threw them into the baggage when he packed in order to go. So now he goes back and he's Maisa Nefesh. Let's, for argument's sake, I can't prove it, but let's say that these Pachim Ketanim were bought I've never seen a Chazal or anything that they were Eretz Yisrael Pachim Ketanim, Jewish Pachim Ketanim. Vaisai was Kedailai. And now suddenly he's going to Mitzrayim, where you would have thought, okay, in Mitzrayim, what's Nachgemina, whether they're Nitzra Eretz Yisrael or Nitzra Chutzlos, ain't Kedailai. Begs a carrot, gives it to Esau and says, "Sei mir gesund, I'm leaving. I don't want this." It's an unbelievable chiddush. What is really going on over here? And the Emma says that this trip to Mitzrayim is so chock full of chiddushim. So you know, it counts up all the family. Ve'ele shemois b'nei Yisroel haboim mitzrayma, Yaakov uvonov b'chor Yaakov uven, and so on and so forth. And then at the end it says, v'no Yosef ha'shayulad lo mitzrayim nefesh noem, kol nefesh leves Yaakov haboim mitzrayma 70. 70 nefesh. Don't we know about these 70 nefesh? Now is that significant that they were 70? What's so great about being 70? So we know that 70 is a very, very significant number. The 70 Dayonim in the Beis Din HaGadol, you have the 70 Tmorim after Yetzias Mitzrayim. 70 is Shivim L'Shoinas, the Sanhedrin that we book in Shivim L'Shoinas. Shivim is a Klaliistic number. It's interesting, but let me just say the background. Maybe I've mentioned this in an earlier shiur, I don't remember. But the fact that these were 70 over here is of such overarching significance that it can't even be described. Mamash can't even be described, because that's how Zechoyah Mois Oilam, Bina Shinois Doivodah, Hazina, the Shira which the Rebbeinu Shem gave us to accompany us through Golus, makes a big issue out of it. V'hanchel elyon goyim v'hafrido b'nei adam, yatsev gevulos amim l'mispa b'nei Yisrael. That by the Zohar Flogger, when the Ribbono Shel Olam decided that mankind to be one mishpacha is not good, and they have to be divided into more than one mishpacha, so he made 70. Yatsev gevulos amim l'mispa b'nei Yisrael. Matim to these 70. That the 70 countries, the 70 Goyishan nations, which the Doi HaFloga brought into being, were makbil to the 70 nefesh who went to Mitzrayim. What's going on over here? What's that 70 got to do with this 70? What's happening over here? So, and what did Yaakov think when the Ribbono Shel Olam told him? What did the Ribbono Shel Olam tell him over there in Be'er Sheva? Oh, he said like this, "V'yomer anochi okel elokei avicha, al tiro merdo mitzrayma, ki legoy godol asimcha sham. Anochi ered imoch mitzrayma, v'anochi alcho gam oloi, v'yosef yoshis yodo al einecha." What did Yaakov think? "Ki legoy godol asimcha sham. I'm going to make you into a goy godol over there." Isn't that an unbelievable thing? Nochav toch of Eretz Yisrael, lechole nosati, to the Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, the promises of Eretz Yisrael, the promises of a nation. The Eshel Goy Godol is going to be in Mitzrayim. What's going on over here? Kil Goy Godol asim chosham. What is being said to Yaakov, and how did he understand that? Did he have a kasha? Why does the Hashgacha? I see now that everything was Hashgacha, and Yosef was sold, and there's a famine, and I understand that I'm being schlepped to Mitzrayim. But why? What's going on over here? It's really unbelievable. B'kitzer, I think that Yaakov Avinu, when the Ribbono Shel'Olam told him that you're going to become a goy gadol in Mitzrayim, how did he understand it? So I think he understood it like the Ribbono Shel'Olam tells us. The Ribbono Shel'Olam tells us why they went to Mitzrayim. He tells it to us in Boaz Chanan. So Boaz Chanan, Perek Dalet, so you have the whole description of the Yidden, never, why do we do such bad things all the time? But they're going to go, Bavaritem Shamelahim, Maasei Oide Odom, Eitzvoeven, Ashala Yiron, Velo Yishman, Velo Yerchman, Velo Yerichon, Uvikashtem Yishomes Hashem Elo Kecho, Motsoso, Kisid Rashenu, Bechol Vavko, Bechol Nafshecho, you're going to do tshuva. And the Rebbe is going to listen to your tshuva. Ki El Racham Hashem Elo Kecho, Lo Yapcho, Velo Yashvisecho, Velo Yishkach Esburis Avosecho, Asher Nishba Lohem. Now, Kishal No Liyomim Rishonim, Asher Hoyi Lefonecho, למין היום אשר בור אלוקים אודם על האורץ ולקצה השמיים ועד קצה השמיים הני יהיה כדובה הגודל הזה אוי הנשמע כמיו השומע עם כהל אלוהים מדבר מתוך האש כאשר שומעת אתם ויחי אוי הניס אלוקים לבוא לקחס לו גוי מקרב גוי במסס באוסס ובמוסם ובמלחום ויות חזוק וזרוע נטויו ובמאורים גדולים ככל אשר עושה לכם השם אלוקים מצרים לעיניך התור הרי סולדס כי השם הוא אלוקים, אין עוד מלבדו. Oh, what's going on over here? So there's a very interesting Rashi about all these hays. Haniso אלוקים. So Rashi says, כל ההיין הלולו תמיוס הן. They all introduce questions. לקח נקודוס הן בחטף פתח. הניהו, הנשמה, השומה, הניסו. What's going on over here? The Ribbono Shel'Olam is telling us your whole staying in Mitzrayim, everything from beginning to end, was under the mark of a gigantic question mark. What's going on over here? How can this be the place where you're going to make a Goy Gadol? See, the Ribbono Shel'Olam is telling them over here, think back to the Avodah Zarah that you've kept on serving. Think back to what happened to you. Do you see all the questions? Kishal al yom morishanim. Hani yer kadova ze, oy hanishma kamayo. Hashoma om kolor. It's all one big question. What's going on? You experience such ploim, such enormous ploim. Doesn't that mean anything to you? And what's the maskona? Atoho reisoladas ki Hashem elokim einod milvadim. Don't you understand that all this crazy business in Mitzrayim was there that you shouldn't be nechshol in avodah zarah? Atoho reisoladas ki Hashem hu elokim einod milvadim. This experience was supposed to teach you yichud. It was crazy. This never happened before. The whole thing, it doesn't make sense from beginning to end. The whole story doesn't make any sense. Ha, 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 question mark, what's going on? It had one purpose. Atah reso l'das, ki Hashem hu elokim, eina oit milvadem. So, what's the answer to the questions? And what is the function? What is the function? So, the function is that I can't find the Pasuk now, which I wanted, where the Pasuk says, I don't want to waste time now looking for it. And why did I take you to Mitzrayim? I took you to Mitzrayim that it should be the Kur HaZohav. It should be the Kur HaZohav. It should be the container in which gold is purified. That's what's happening in Mitzrayim. In other words, I wish I could see this posture quickly because that's what Rashi says. What's the Kur? The Kur Azov is the keli in which you purify the gold. Alright, it's not good to spend the time now. It's somewhere over here in Boaz Chanan. So, what's the chat? So who's the Zohav? So the Zohav is Klal Yisrael. I want to get pure gold. It has to be pure gold with all the impurities burnt out of it. So how do? You dump the whole gold with its impurities into a roaring fire. Into a roaring fire. So what does the fire do? It burns out the impurities and leaves the gold pure. But it's a dangerous place. The fire, it's fire. It's dangerous. So the pshat is that this Kur Hazov, which Mitzrayim was, is really the answer which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives to all these experiences. They served Avodah Zorah, they served Avodah Zorah, they served Avodah Zorah. I've mentioned many times in the Shiurim Perek Chof Gimel in Yecheskel, where it says that the reason why they served Avodah Zorah before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, of the first Beis HaMikdash, they remembered the Avodah Zorah from Mitzrayim. They became Oivdei Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim. Look in Yecheskel Perek Chof and Yecheskel Perek Chof Gimel, it's unbelievable for Stutzach there. How much Avodah Zorah they served in Mitzrayim. Right by the Korban Pesach, Mishru Chulochem, Mishru Yudechem in Avodah Zorah. But on the other hand, it gave them the opportunity not to be influenced. That's why the formation of this guy had to be dark in Mitzrayim. They had to see the rottenness of the Avodah Zorah. They had to see the rottenness of the society, the decadence, the whole mess of what it was. And they had to see that that's not the derech we want to live. That's the Kur Hazov experience, which they needed in Mitzrayim. That's the Kur Hazov. Burn out the Natiyas towards Avodah Zorah. Become pure. Become beautiful. Gold is beautiful. But for that you have to go through this Kur Hazov. What is the answer to the questions which we asked? Like, why suddenly is the stuff of Chutz La'aretz not Kedai for Yaakov now that he's going to Chutz La'aretz? Would have thought Dafka Faker, now that he's going to Chutz La'aretz, it's Dafka Kedai to take the Chutz La'aretz stuff. And what about this Shivim Nefesh? Pshat is like this, that with the Yerida to Mitzrayim now, Klal Yisrael became an Am. This is the beginning. Before going down to Mitzrayim, this was a family. The Ovas were Ovas, but there wasn't an Am Yisrael yet. That only came the descendants of Yaakov. How's it go over there? Yisrael, Yechida Shnei Garav, the Adas Yaakov bin Chubacharecha, the Eidor is Yaakov's, Adas Yaakov bin Chubacharecha. Because the Klal Yisrael is coming into being now. What Yaakov Avinu was saying was like this. We are now the Shivim Nefesh. The Shivim is the Shlemus. It's no time now to explain the Shivim, why after the number Shivim. It's very, very interesting, but I don't want to go on too long. But this is when it's happening. We're becoming Am Yisrael now. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, Bafrido B'nei Odom, Yatsev Kivulos Amim L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael. That Shleimus which is expressed in 70 by the nations of the world, you need 70 countries. They are defined as Mr. Country. So Mr. Country is only one person. So you need another Mr. Country, another Mr. Country, another Mr. Country. So between all these nations, you have the Shleimus of the Ummus Olam. But here the Shleimus is vested in each individual. Shilim Nefesh, Yatsev Gebulos Amim L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael. What the Amim needed 17 nations for, you have in each person, each one of these Shivim Nefesh is Keneged a nation. You don't need land. You're strangers in the land. And that's just all, you're strangers. The more you have it, the less you have it. Dafki Yoivel, where Kol Yoshvei Oleo, it's Kigeirim V'Soy Shuvim Atemim Modi. You're not defined by your land. Ought to be mirich in these things, but there's no time today. So why did Yaakov get rid of the wealth of Paddan Aram? So that's the answer. The answer is, as long as they were only individuals, they were an individual family with enormous potential, with big promises under their belt from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they were a family. So then, what's the no problem that if they had the wealth of Chutz La'aretz, same sheep? So, it was a good thing, why not? And Yaakov was willing to work for it, and he was willing to go back for the Pachim Ketanim. But when Klal Yisrael goes into Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael goes into Mitzrayim, and they're going into the lion's den, full of filth, full of znus, full of Avodah Zorah, and in that burning fire, in that Kur Azor, they're supposed to create a holy people. So there, the property of Chutz La'aretz is not kedaili. And that is why it says the wealth which they made in Eretz Canaan. Vayichres mikneim vezruchushom asher rochshu be'eretz Canaan. Vayovoyo mitzrayim var. Yaakov v'chol zaro itay. What's that hadgosha of Yaakov v'chol zaro itay? They're becoming a nation now. This is it. Klal Yisrael is coming into being. Where an individual can deal with the Nechosim of Chutz La'aretz, Klal Yisrael, and Kal V'chomer ben Benoi Shel Kal V'chomer, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, where the whole experience of 210 years had to be to keep separate. Achas Yihyu Pirsum V'Hakotzav. You know how they managed to keep separate? It's unbelievable. But they can only do that if they don't have the Nechosim of Chutz La'aretz with them. So, look, there's so much more, and it really ought to be explored. But these are the time limitations. But think things over a little bit. In each posukimat, there are very, very big yesodas that we ought to know if we want to be a good yidden.